Featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
I'm former Major League pitcher Andy Pettit. I teamed up with Tunnel to Towers after seeing their life-changing work with military and first responder families. Now we're expanding our mission to help veterans struggling with homelessness. We want to help them rebuild their lives not only by giving them a home, but by providing the services they need. Please join me in donating at t2t.org.
My name is Wally Joyner. I was a first baseman for the Angels, Padres, Royals, and Braves. I give the Tunnel to Towers because of what they provide for the veterans, the military, the first responders, the police, the firemen who go out and put their lives in danger for our freedoms. I think it's an incredible charity, an incredible foundation. Their goals of helping the families that protect us. I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation is committed to delivering mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families with young children. Never forget.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, good morning everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard here in Las Vegas and the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show on this almost Friday, Thursday, and of course we welcome all of our other listeners and followers on many of the different platforms that we have to deliver us to you. And that includes, of course, our local radio station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And of course, remember, on our local station here at Sports Talk 1400 AM, they are the exclusive broadcasters of all of the USC Trojan college football games and all of the Rams NFL games on the Rams schedule as well. So remember that if you're running around town here and you're a fan of both USC and the Rams. And of course, we've got our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas, .world, .global. And, of course, streaming on all of those websites as well. And for your devices, your iPhones, your Androids, we've got the apps there as well. The KSHP app, of course, will have you listening to us through the radio station. And the YouTube app will have you watching and listening to us on the YouTube app through the YouTube streaming station there. And, of course, that's, of course, for your iPhones and your Androids. Your iPods, too, all that little technical equipment you got with the apps. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. So welcome to the show, however, wherever, whenever. Want to, at the top of the show, just let you know that Jonathan Hardoon and Jerry Jackowitz will not be with us today. They are observing the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah, and we wish them a peaceful journey through that that holiday that started at midnight last night at sundown. And of course, I have Jonathan's selections. Jonathan and Jerry both wanted me to let you know that although they are observing the Jewish holiday, that they do have sheets today for the racetracks. And of course, Jerry has a sheet for Belmont at Aqueduct. So does Jonathan. So they have sheets, their handicapping sheets, still available there at their websites. And you can get it there. And don't forget, today at Belmont at Aqueduct, they have a carryover in the Pick 6 that was held over from Saturday to Sunday, but with the cancellation of the Miss Grillo on Sunday because of the adverse weather. And, of course, rescheduling the Miss Grillo for this coming Sunday. They had a vacant race there, and so because they postponed that race, there was no offering of a late pick four, late pick five, or the pick six on Sunday. So the carryover from Saturday works its way into today. So you have an $83,000 plus carryover in the pick six today at Belmont at Aqueduct. By the way, on Sunday, there wasn't a winner in the pick six at Santa Anita as well. So that carryover, of course, will be when Santa Anita resumes racing tomorrow. It, ironically, is at the same amount, $83,000 plus. And so, of course, we have the opening of the Keeneland Fall Meeting that's coming up that starts tomorrow. And, of course, the front loading of all of the Breeders' Cup Winning Your In races there at Keeneland. And, of course, the remaining ones at Belmont at Aqueduct and at Santa Anita during the Santa Anita meeting. So there's a lot going on this weekend as far as the Breeders' Cup implications are concerned. 15 Breeders' Cup Winning Your In races are yet to be determined. All of them will happen this weekend over at Belmont at Aqueduct, Keeneland, and at Santa Anita. The way it shakes out is on Friday, Belmont at Aqueduct will have the Futurity for two-year-olds. Eight were entered in that race, so we have eight going in that race. These are Breeders' Cup Winning Your In races for this weekend. Keeneland will have the Jasmine that has 12 plus four also eligibles. The Phoenix, also at Keeneland, has eight entered in that. And the Alcibiades has eight as well there. So you've got those three Breeders' Cup Winning Your In races there for Keeneland. And, of course, the one at Belmont at Aqueduct. That'll happen tomorrow on opening day at Keeneland, obviously. Saturday, Breeders' Cup Winning Your In races. Belmont at Aqueduct will hold the Champagne for the two-year-olds. There's 10 in that race entered. The Frisette for the two-year-old fillies also has 10 entered in that. Then at Keeneland, there'll be the Breeders' Futurity, and of course, that's for the two-year-olds, 11 entered there. The Turf Mile will have 9 in it, and the Thoroughbred Club of America will have 7 entered. 7 have been entered. Now, this, of course, is before any late scratches. That happens at Keeneland, the Breeders' Cup Winning Your Ins on Saturday. Saturday at Santa Anita, you'll have the American Pharoah for two-year-olds on the West Coast, 7 entered there. The Oak Leaf for two-year-old fillies, 8 have entered in that. And the Rodeo Drive, where there will be 7 for the fillies and mares in that one. That all happens on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the rescheduled Miss Grillo, which is a Breeders' Cup Winning Your In, at Belmont at Aqueduct, had a dozen entered in that one. And at Keeneland on Sunday, you'll have the Bourbon, which have an overflow entry. They had 12 plus three also eligibles. And the Spinster for the fillies and mares, which there will be 6 in that. Those are the Breeders' Cup Winning Your In races for this weekend, the final Breeders' Cup Winning Your In races. And then we'll start earnestly looking at what's going on with the Breeders' Cup as we move towards that, because now we're in the nitty-gritty of the Breeders' Cup, where we have 29 days, 4 hours, 25 minutes, and 38 seconds and counting until we start the Breeders' Cup. In other parts of the country, there will be 19 Japanese-based horses from Japan shipping over for the Breeders' Cup. And it seems like the Breeders' Cup Classic this year will be centering on the three-year-olds, although it's for three-year-olds and up, older horses. This year, the handicap division is being overshadowed by the prominent three-year-olds for the Breeders' Cup Classic, so that will certainly be interesting. And as we move closer to the Breeders' Cup day by day, there'll be a lot of interesting matchups going on, especially after the Breeders' Cup winning are in a folly of races this weekend. Everybody will be, you know, looking for the spot of where they're going to go in the Breeders' Cup races, and we'll keep keeping tabs on that as well. Want to remind everybody again that we will have John Lendo on the show today with us. We're going to go over the Breeders' Cup winning your in races. Rich Eng will be with us. We're going to share a Pete Rose story from the Turfway Park days. And, of course, John Lendo, of course, going over the Breeders' Cup races. We will have the selections for Jonathan Hardoon and Jerry Jackowitz as well. And so as we move forward through this show, I want to remind everybody of some of the things coming up here at the South Point for the Breeders' Cup as we get now with less than 30 days to go. You might want to make plans. Here's how we're going to shake it out. On Wednesday of Breeders' Cup week, and I believe that's the last couple of days. I think it's the 30th, on Wednesday, the 30th of this month. We will be doing a special Breeders' Cup preview show with Jonathan Hardoon, with John Lendo, and other handicapping guests that we'll have on the show here at the YouTube South Point Studios streaming network. It'll only be on the South Point streaming network on Wednesday, the 30th of this month, and it will be held at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And then, of course, we will continue with the race day shows throughout the mornings, updating on the Breeders' Cup. Then on Friday, November 1st, the first of the two-day Breeders' Cup championships, after the Breeders' Cup races are over on that Friday at 6 p.m. in the Grandview Lounge, which is adjacent to the Breeders' Cup, we will hold the annual Breeders' Cup seminar with Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo, and that'll happen at 6 o'clock. It'll be streaming on the South Point page of the South Point website. You can go to the South, if you're not here in Las Vegas, to join us for free in this Grandview Lounge. You can watch us on the website, streaming on the website, on the South Point Racebook page, and there'll be an icon where you just click, and then you'll start with the seminar. We'll start that at 6 p.m. Pacific time on Friday the 1st, after the first day of the Breeders' Cup races are concluded. We'll review what happened that day, and, of course, look at the big Saturday Breeders' Cup card, Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo. Remember, it's at the Grandview Lounge, which is a lounge that has entertainment there at night, so it's set up real nice. We'll be on stage. You guys will be out in the audience with the tables and all that stuff. It'll be real comfortable and nice, and it's a lounge situation. And that lounge is adjacent to the racebook in case you want to run over and make a late bet on a late race in the racebook as well. That's set up there right next to the racebook. Then on Saturday, November the 2nd, the big day of the Breeders' Cup, we will be up in the Grand Ballroom upstairs, second floor, the big Grand Ballroom. It's a huge banquet room that'll be set up with all of these huge, massive screens on all the walls that you could watch the Breeders' Cup races, of course, the Breeders' Cup telecast. There'll be a bank of betting windows. There'll be kiosks as well if you want to bet through that. There'll be food and beverage discount product for you. And, of course, I understand there's going to be a little drawing for some prizes, et cetera, too. We'll keep you posted on that. And, of course, the big banquet table so you can spread out all of your betting information, et cetera, and your food and beverages as well. I think they seat between 8 and 10 people per table, so you can bring out friends and enjoy it and enjoy it with me and Jonathan and John. We're going to have a big Breeders' Cup viewing party up there on Saturday, November the 2nd, Breeders' Cup Day. And I do believe that the doors open for the Grand Ballroom on Breeders' Cup morning at 9 a.m. Everything that I just told you is free, including parking your car in the parking lot, free, because they really they love horse players here at the South Point. So if you're thinking about going to somewhere for the party and to enjoy the Breeders' Cup, this is the place to do it. And you can come on by, and we'll just have a lot of fun Breeders' Cup week. And some informative information to try to cash bets, too, as well, you know, with our handicappers, etc. And so we want to remind you, and those of you watching and listening that are beyond Las Vegas here, if you're planning on coming out for Breeders' Cup weekend to enjoy the big championship weekend of racing with us, there's special room rates as well here at the South Point. They got beautiful rooms here as well. So we just wanted to let you know that, keep that in mind, okay? All right, we're going to start with the show by going to our first break. When we come back, we'll have the racing menu, and then we'll be off and running with Rich Ang, John Lindo, and Jerry's, and Jonathan's picks for today. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, taking a look at the weather around the country. I want to tell you, it's just a beautiful day here in Las Vegas. Right now, outside here in Vegas, it's 73 degrees. We're going to get up to 103 today. And it looks like we're going to pass the 100 mark for the toppers here in Las Vegas for the entire weekend. And as far as we can see, out until Tuesday of next week. But it's not an excessive heat warning, but still over 100 degrees. Make sure you stay hydrated out there, because it'll be warm. It won't be, bad, but it'll be warm, over 100 degrees, 73, and I say 103 topper today in Las Vegas. Again, the hottest spot in the country is Phoenix, Arizona. They're going to get to 108 today, and look, this is already, we're already in October, third day of October, and we're already, haven't broke the heat barrier yet. Phoenix, 108. We've got 73 in New York. Chicago, 77, Miami, 89, Oklahoma City, 95, and Southern California, L.A., 92 degrees there. It's a little hot in L.A. as well. So we got a little hot pocket that's going on over the southwest right now. And as far as the areas where that terrible storm was, et cetera, it's all gone. Now they have to do the big cleanup, and our thoughts and prayers really go out to those folks. And hopefully our government will be down there and start helping them out. But as far as the weather concern for racing around the country, it's clear, mostly clear all over the country today. So let's get started with the racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're listening here in Las Vegas and where the... we're in the Pacific time zone, and the race books, these will be the first post times in the race books if you want to join us at the South Point race book. Right behind us in the studio here at South Point, these will be the first post times. If you're listening anywhere else on the many different platforms and streaming that we have around the world, we know we're in different time zones. And so we suggest to you, as we always do, that you adjust from the your time zone to the Pacific time zone so you get the first post times right for your area so you don't miss anything. You might want to bet an early bet, and you want to make sure that you get it. So adjust the post times from the Pacific time zone. Don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. And we will start with the menu at Laurel Park in Maryland. Laurel Park has a first post time of 9:25 today. They have eight races at Laurel today. And they have a pick six jackpot carryover as well. That pick six jackpot carryover, $4,085 today at Laurel Park. And again, first post time is at 9:25. Then we go to Delaware Park in Delaware. Delaware Park has seven races. Their first post time is 9:30. 9:30 at Delaware Park. Following that, Belterra Park. Belterra Park has a first post time for eight races at 9:35. 9:35 at Belterra Park. Used to be River Downs, but it's called Belterra now. Belmont at Aqueduct. Well, let's see what's going on with Belmont at Aqueduct. They tell us that at Belmont at Aqueduct, it's mostly cloudy with 64 degrees. The track is labeled fast. The turf courses, the outer turf and the inner turf courses, are both labeled firm now. The outer turf course will host races 5 and 8, and the inner turf course will have races 4 and 7. And again, a pick 6 carryover from Saturday. A pick 6 carryover at Belmont at Aqueduct, $83,911.98 in that pick 6 carryover today. So with eight races today at Belmont at Aqueduct, the pick six will start in the third race. The third race will be the pick six. That'll be the start of pick six with a carryover. You have eight races today. There's a feature race today, the Gio Ponte. It's the seventh race on the card at a mile on the inner turf course for three-year-olds. And the Gio Ponte has an overflow field in it. And let's see if we can get some scratches for you on that one. There are scratch number 8, Yo Daddy. Scratch number 12, Mission North. Scratch number 13, Main Beach. The 13, Main Beach, and the 14, Silver Set. So scratch numbers 8, 12, 13, and 14 out of the Gio Ponte, the seventh race on the card. And the favorite in that race on the morning line, lukewarm at 7-2, is Royal Majesty with the Junior Alvarado aboard. First post time, Belmont at Aqueduct with the Gio Ponte, and the pick six carryover set at 9:40 this morning. All right, Horseshoe Indianapolis. They've got, 11 races there. And the first post time for Horseshoe Indianapolis is at 11:10 a.m. Now, Horseshoe Indianapolis has a super high five carryover. It's not a jackpot, by the way. Super high five carryover at Horseshoe Indianapolis, $6,599. Again, 11 races, 8 thoroughbred races. The last 3 races will be quarter horse trials at 400 yards. First post time, 11:10 at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Presque Isle Downs has 8 races today. Presque Isle Downs' first post time is at 12 high noon Pacific. Hawthorne Racecourse from Chicago, 9 races. A Hawthorne Racecourse has a super high five carryover of $2,407, 9 races and a first post time of 12:10. And then we go to Woodbine. Woodbine has a first post time of 1:50 for their 8 races. Couple of big jackpots going on there. The pick six jackpot carryover, $47,748. And the super high five jackpot carryover, $77,267. And again, first post time at Woodbine, 1:50 for their 8 races. And then we have Charlestown. Charlestown has 8 races. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $27,808. First post time at Charlestown, 4 p.m. And then we got Remington Park. We're wrapping up the menu for today. The Remington Park has 9 races. And their first post time at Remington is set at 4:30 at Remington. And that is your racing menu for today. All right, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we got a story, an NFL pick, and a horse pick, all from Rich Eng, who's standing by. Don't go away.
Thank you, buddy. There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
Hello, I'm Dennis Quaid. For years, Tunnel to Towers has demonstrated a commitment to first responders and military families. They've paid off mortgages and built specially adapted smart homes. Now the foundation is expanding its mission to eradicate veteran homelessness. Please give our veterans a chance to reclaim their dignity by donating at T2T.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas. It's time now to go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners. And happy Rosh Hashanah to all our Jewish friends out there.
Yes, that's for sure. And, well, we're going to do three things today. We're going to do a Pete Rose story that you and I both were part of back in the days when we were at Turfway Park. But before we do that, let's get to the selections for the folks. Now, tonight we got an NFL game. Looks like to be, on paper anyhow, a pretty good game between the Buccaneers and the Falcons at Atlanta. How do you see this NFL Thursday night game?
It is a really good football game. The Buccaneers are 3-1. Baker Mayfield's playing as good as any quarterback in the NFL right now. The Atlanta Falcons are 2-2, and every game they played has been extremely close. They won the last game against the New Orleans Saints when the kicker, Koo, kicked like a 56-yard field goal on the final play of the game. I mean, he just drilled it right down the center out. So they're 2-2. It's kind of a must game for them because, you know, the schedule is kind of front-loaded, so they really should need to make hay now. The line reflected is 1.5 at the South Point to last night when I sent in my picks to the station. But I'm going to go with the home team, the Atlanta Falcons, -1.5. You know, the one thing about them is that, you know, they signed Kirk Cousins in the offseason and they really strengthened some areas on defense. They look like a team, Ralph, that's not quite there, but they have all the ingredients of being a playoff team and really maybe making some noise in the postseason. Tampa was in the playoffs last year, and they gave the Detroit Lions all they could handle in the playoff game. But I'm just going to give a small lean to the Falcons, -1.5, Ralph, looking for a big game from Cousins.
All right, traditionally, bookmakers, when they lay out the point spreads, traditionally, the home team always gets a three-point advantage starting out with their computing, etc. Now, seeing Atlanta at only -1.5 tells us that they think that they kind of lean towards Tampa to win this game based on the traditional formula for point spreads.
That is correct. That is correct, Ralph. That means the bookmakers are leaning toward the Tampa Bay Bucks. And, of course, we always talk about this when you're betting on sports. You should shop for price. I know the South Point has -1.5, but, you know, certainly it. Like, for example, when I bet sports, Ralph, I have, quite frankly, 8 sports apps on my phone, and I shop for price. Fortunately, the South Point, more often than not, is the best price in Las Vegas.
All righty. So we got that down. You think the home team is going to take advantage of the home field advantage and squeeze out a win over the Tampa Bay. But with the record of these two teams and the talent they have, it should be an exciting game. Well, let's get a selection from you. You got a selection today on the horses?
Yeah, let's go to Aqueduct, the Belmont at Aqueduct meet, race number 6, Ralph. 7 furlongs on the main track, maiden claiming 50. A horse at Switch Barnes from Mike Maker to Belmont is the number 1, Houlton. And this horse has shown some steady improvement for the barn. Really ran well last time out, 2nd, going a mile. I like the cutback in distance. This horse should finish. Irad Ortiz is up for us, so let's go with the number 1, Houlton, in the race 6.
All right, 6th race, the 1, Houlton, is Richie's play at Aqueduct. Aqueduct, 6th race, number 1, Houlton, is Richie's play. I'm going to give Jonathan Hardoon's play out right now before we get to the story. Jonathan, in the 3rd race, gets his selection. Now, remember, the 3rd race starts off the pick 6 with a carryover exceeding $83,000. And in the 3rd race, you can scratch the 6 horse Groovin. The 3-1 morning line favorite Groovin is out of the 3rd. And Jonathan Ardoon's pick for us today off of his sheet in that 3rd race is number 8, Ski Country. 9-2 on the morning line with Irad Ortiz Jr. Number 6, Ski Country. Jonathan's pick in the 3rd race today at Belmont at Aqueduct. And remember, although he is observing the holiday, his full sheet for Aqueduct is available at his website. All right. Well, we talked a little bit about Pete Rose yesterday, but it seems wherever we worked in racetracks around the country, Pete was kind of right there. And, you know, wherever Pete was at in a city that he was working at with the baseball teams that he was with, he loved to go to the racetrack and he loved to go to Turfway Park. And there was a period of time at Turfway Park where there was a stretch of, I think, about 2 weeks where nobody hit the pick 6, and the pick 6 kept climbing and climbing and climbing to where it got to around almost $300,000, which was a big number in those days for Turfway Park. And Pete and the owner, Jerry Carroll, were good friends. And so they got together and played the pick 6. And they didn't get any information. It was nothing nefarious about it. They were race players that day, and they wanted to play the pick 6. And you can pick up the story from there.
Well, in the pick 6 is Jerry and Pete Rose headed.
Yeah, they did.
And they were in a special restaurant that Jerry had built in the clubhouse. So I know a lot of the people were looking into the restaurant because they were celebrating and high-fiving each other with every leg, successful leg. And so, they hit the pick 6, and so they took down the pool, Ralph.
And that started out a lot of people, a lot of media and all that converging on Turfway Park that you had to deflect and I had to deflect about this thing about the owner of the racetrack and Pete Rose betting on the pick 6. And again, nothing nefarious about it. We were watching them handicap in the restaurant before that. And, you know, in the end, the you-know-what hit the you-know-what because it seemed that story comes out later that Pete Rose owed a bookmaker some money, and the bookmaker, kind of threatened him, saying, "If I don't get the money, I'm gonna say something." And so it just unraveled from there, and that was the start of the investigations of Pete Rose and his gambling, right?
Yeah. After that, that publicity was not good for Pete. And, that's one of the reasons why I talked about the Pete Rose Room yesterday.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons that I offered that privacy to Pete, was so he would be able to bet out of the public eye. But, Pete and Jerry, they were just going to do what they were going to do, Ralph. And they were Everybody saw them. They couldn't hide the fact that they hit the darn thing. And, yeah, that kind of like started the ball rolling on the Pete Rose investigation.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, going back then, Bart Giamatti was the commissioner of baseball.
Yep.
He hired a lawyer named John Dowd to investigate it. And there's a Dowd report that's still available. People can just order it. But yours truly was one of the people interviewed in the Dowd report. So I'm in there.
Yep. Yeah, we were just minding our own business and had to deflect a lot of media, man. We were getting, and it was just a no comment. And to be perfectly honest with you, again, nothing nefarious about it. They were racing fans. They were players like us, and they wanted to play the pick six, and ironically, they hit it. And the Pandora's box was open. But all in all, my feeling is still, Pete, it was an injustice by baseball not to put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Really that simple.
I agree with you 100%, Ralph. And now that Pete has passed away, actually, I would say do not put him in. I mean, it'd be ingenuous if you put him in after his death posthumously, because if you couldn't put him in when he was alive and he and his family could enjoy it, then don't take advantage of him. Put him in after he's dead.
Yeah, don't admit the guilt you might have now about putting him in. As a matter of fact, I saw an interview, a clip somewhere, maybe on X or somewhere, where they asked him about that before he passed away, obviously. And he said, no, he says, if I die and they don't put me in the Hall of Fame, I don't want them to put me in afterwards. He did say that in his interview. So we'll wait and see about that. But what a hell of a player he was. He was Mr. Hustle, that's for sure. And if you know anything about Pete Rose, he was betting on his team. He was betting on his team because he wanted them to win. And isn't that what all the coaches and all the players should be? They want to win a game?
Yeah, there's no question the competitive spirit of Pete Rose probably led to a lot of his gambling because he was such a competitor in that spirit. And, you know, we see professional athletes, for example, Ralph, get involved in horse racing when they leave the game, you know, like Jason Worth with Door Knock.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen interviews with Jason Worth talking about it, the fact that he's involved in horse racing is because it gives him an outlet for his competitive juices to get involved in something like this. Yeah. So, horse racing and sports figures go hand in hand.
That's right. They're just one of us in the end, just playing to play and get the excitement of trying to figure out the winner, to get the excitement of the competition, and getting the excitement of cashing the ticket. I hope we do that today as well. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, man. Good luck, everybody.
All right, coming up next, John Lindo's going to be with us. He actually has a selection for you today. He doesn't have a sheet, but he went out, and just like Richie, he went out and searched out a selection for the Race Day listeners. And we'll kind of take a look at those big Breeders' Cup winning your in races coming up this weekend. So don't go away. We will be right back. And I still have Jerry Jackwitz pick to give you, too.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
My name is Rick Dempsey. I played 27 years in professional baseball, 24 years as a major league player. You know, you always worry about, I'm spending too much on the kids or something like that. But Tunnel to Towers takes care of everybody. It's a fantastic charity, but it's actually more than that. You know, it changes people's lives and gives them an opportunity to move on and to grow up without a lot of devastation in their life. The foundation is committed to delivering mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children, I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST. Never forget.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Alrighty, back on this almost Friday, Thursday, Race Day Las Vegas radio program. Time to go out to John Lendo, standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, John, and I can tell you that thanks a lot for stepping in on a day when really there's no racing in Southern California, but taking a look at the big bulk of remaining Breeders' Cup winning your win races, starting with tomorrow out at Keeneland and going right through Sunday with the a couple of races at Keeneland and the Miss Grillo at Belmont at Aqueduct that was rescheduled. Looking at the 15 races, of the 15 Breeders' Cup winning your win races left for horses to qualify to get into the Breeders' Cup, through the Breeders' Cup program there. Nine of them are for two-year-olds. Do we have enough two-year-olds out there to fill all these races?
The races are overfilling in those two-year-old races, I tell you. You look at the races, I think the most important ones are at Keeneland because they're two turns, and at Santa Anita because they're two turns. You know, the Champagne and the two races in New York are one-turn miles, so it's a little bit different as opposed to what we're going to see in the Breeders' Cup. But all these races are important because a lot of these colts and fillies have not gone two turns yet. So we're going to get a good read on what's happening in those with those two-year-olds as they stretch out.
Well, now, the best two-year-olds, of course, in the country have found a place somewhere to run, that's for sure. And we're going to get all the ones that, have won significantly already. But, of course, I'm interested to see how Ferocious is going to do at two turns in his race. And certainly the American Pharaoh out in Southern California, surrounded by Bob Baffert, right?
Right. Gaming, who won the Del Mar Futurity, did not enter the front runner at Santa Anita, but it doesn't mean Bob Baffert's not represented. He's got four horses in the race, so he's bringing in the other troops. He's going to sit and wait for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile for Gaming. He's a son of Game Winner, and I have no doubt he'll get two turns. So that's not a question. I think he wants to test drive some of his other horses, including Getaway Car, in the front runner on Saturday.
And, of course, at Keeneland, as I say, the Breeders' Futurity is there. Ferocious drew the rail in that field at Keeneland. And, of course, there's other top runners in that race. East Avenue goes for Brendan Walsh, who has a resume as well. And Dapper Moon with Ricardo Santana for Dallas Stewart. And a lot of other horses that are in the race that haven't achieved as much as some of the favorites have, but can pop up at any time. I mean, the Breeders' Futurity is going to be really a race that's centered around Ferociousness to see if he can get two turns. Now, when I remember when he broke his maiden in New York, I watched him again, and then I watched that isolated shot they had, the ground level shot. And this two-year-old has a long reach on him as if he's going to like going a longer distance than the sprints that he's been in.
Yeah, he's a big colt, and like you say, he's got a long stride. Like, he ought to love two turns, drawing the rail. You know, as long as he breaks well, he's got the speed to hold his position down in there. And, he decided to come down here for the Breeders' Futurity around two turns. The horse that beat him in the hopeful at Saratoga, Chancellor McPatrick, he stays in New York for the Champagne, again, a one-turn mile. So he'll run there. They separate before the Breeders' Cup. They'll probably end up back in the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. But Ferocious, again, like everybody else, they have to answer the question. The one horse that has proven two-turn form, number four, Handsome Pants, debuted two turns at Churchill Downs, got into some traffic, worked his way through, got a lot of seasoning in that race, winning that race. So he's got a little advantage that he's done this before.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And, of course, for the for the two-year-old fillies, it's pretty wide open as well. So we'll get a good handle on the two-year-olds, not only leading up for the Breeders' Cup and their respective races, but certainly looking ahead to the first Saturday and the first Friday in May of next year. You know, when we look at the races and all that, as you indicated yesterday, the Japanese horses are done with their qualifying for the Breeders' Cup. And I understand that there's going to be 19 Japanese horses coming over for the Breeders' Cup.
As right now, there are 19 booked to fly out to California from Japan. And in this Sunday's Arc de Triomphe, Shin Emperor, another Japanese horse who ran very well in the Irish Derby, he's going to run in the Arc. If he runs good there, there's a chance he comes out to California as well. So it's possible we could have as many as 20 Japanese horses coming out for the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar.
Ironically, this weekend, of all the 15 Breeders' Cup winning or in races left, there's really none for the strictly for the handicap division. And I know that looking at the handicap division going into the Breeders' Cup Classic, usually at this time of the year, the handicap horses, the older horses, are the ones that are the target that you have to beat with the 3-year-olds that are going to start competing against the older horses towards the end of the year. But that's not so this year. Everybody thinks that the 3-year-olds have an upper hand on the older division in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, I agree with that, Ralph. It's been a mediocre year for the older handicap horses, and they've been taking turns all year. We saw Tappet Trice come back with a win in New York last week. You know, he might be the flavor of the month, and National Treasure is going to cut back and go to the Breeders' Cup Mile after getting tagged in the California Crown. But nobody has taken a hold of the division. And like I said, they keep taking turns. They're just not particularly fast. So we'll see. That division is ripe for the taking. And it could be a 3-year-old. It could be a horse like City of Troy coming from Europe. It could be one of the Japanese horses. Ushba Tesoro's coming. Forever Young coming off that. He's a 3-year-old coming off that big win in his prep race this week in Japan. Dermasoda Gaki is supposed to come. So we're going to get a real international Breeders' Cup Classic this year.
And, you know, the thing about that is, remember that Forever Young was the third head on the wire in the Kentucky Derby driving finish there, and he was between horses and did get impeded by, I believe Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone, yeah.
In the race. So, and with a tightener, a big tightener, as we're getting the word out of Japan that was a significantly good race out of him, a solid race, that maybe the Japanese, this might be the first year for them to win the big one here.
Well, they won two Breeders' Cup races the last time we were at Del Mar. They won the Filly and Mare turf race, and they also won the distaff for the fillies on the dirt. So they have some experience. They kind of know what kind of horses to bring to California. So I think it's they've got a very big chance to do some damage. And they've been doing damage internationally, you know, back in Saudi Arabia and Maidan City. So they're international travelers now, and they've established themselves.
John, looking at some of the other divisions, when we take a look at the Breeders' Cup Mile, really the horse from Southern California that's been racing down there and winning decisively for several races now is Johannes, and it looks like he's got the inside edge on that thing, especially the race being run at Del Mar and their turf course.
Well, as far as the American horses go, I think he's the best turf miler in the United States. He hasn't gone back east at all this year, but he had a miserable trip at his only start at Churchill Downs last year. You can throw that out. Otherwise, he's unbeaten on grass. Del Mar is his home course. The owners live across the street from Del Mar, so obviously it's a big event for them. And, the only thing is, Ralph, you don't know what you're getting when you get these horses coming in from Europe. They're very good. It's a different level of competition than what we see in California these days. And there's a 3-year-old filly named Porto Fortuna who's supposed to be coming. She's good. Charlie Appleby will have a horse or two, and he's done really well at Del Mar shipping in for the Breeders' Cup races. So there'll be competition there. But I tell you what, Johannes has a chance to get the job done. He's got great tactical speed. I think Post will be important in that mile race with 14 horses.
Yeah, no question about that. They are tight turns in the American turf courses because most of them in America were built after the main courses were, and the turf courses are inside of the usual one-mile track. So the positioning and there is important. But I got to tell you one thing right now. There might be a small advantage to the jockeys who have ridden in Southern California at Del Mar, because that is a tricky course to ride. And like we've seen, jockeys like Umberto Rispoli, Antonio Freisu, Hector Barrios, they really know how to get a horse around that racetrack.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to know when to make your move because that stretch is not long. So you better be on top of those leaders by the time you straighten out for home because there isn't much time to angle out at the top of the lane and run everybody down. So it is a course knowledge kind of course, but you've got guys like William Buick who have done it before.
Yeah.
Ryan Moore.
Yeah, Ryan Moore.
These guys have done it 100 times, so they're good at it. It's just the guys that haven't been here before, maybe they better go to school before they get here.
Billy Mare Turf, I guess we'll see if Warlike Goddess got one great one left in her, and that ought to be an interesting race. And I got to tell you that maybe this year the Southern California Sprinters, and we're always talking about Southern California and how great the Sprinters are, but they haven't produced that well in Breeders' Cup Sprints lately. I could tell you this, that they look like they're loaded this year.
We've got some California speed this year. You saw the Straight No Chaser the other day, and you've got a horseback. He's named Skelly, so you know the pace is going to be fast. You've got the Chosen Bronze sitting out there fresh and waiting to go, and you've got that three-year-old, Raging Torrent, who beat the Chosen Bronze at Del Mar and the Pat O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how good he is? Ever since they moved him back around one turn, he's been dynamite. And even though he qualified a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile, trainer Doug O'Neill is going to keep him around one turn in the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Yeah, and of course, when you get to the older filly and mare division, you got to get around Torpedo Anna.
Right, well, she's a three-year-old against the older horses.
Yeah.
The fillies, they're running the Spinster this weekend. You've got the same group. Brad Cox's filly is going to be a prohibitive favorite in there, and she's the controlling speed. You've got Raging Sea. I'm trying to remember the name of Brad's horse.
Idiomatic.
Idiomatic, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
But Raging Sea sitting out there. We know Adari Manor is now retired.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the winner in the Distaff is coming from California. It's going to be out of the area. But right now, I think Torpedo Anna, you have to respect what she's done, and she's battle-tested. She's ready to take on the older fillies and mares.
Let's get started with maybe a pick today as we start our bankroll rolling for the Breeders' Cup. And this is just some of what you're going to get between John Lendo and Jonathan Hardoon when we get the fixed fields and everything for our special Wednesday Breeders' Cup preview show here on the YouTube streaming channel only. Wednesday, of course, before Breeders' Cup at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And I know you searched out a horse for us today, John.
Yeah, I'm going to go to race number 7, Belmont at Aqueduct. Number 6, Palm Tree, came off a layoff against older horses and ran a good race at Kentucky Downs. Really finished full of run. Had a lot of tough trips last year as a 2-year-old with the favorites, the 10, Royal Majesty, and 9, Donegal Momentum. They draw bad posts in here. It's a good spot to take a shot. 6-1 for a horse that's going to move forward today. Race number 7, horse number 6, Palm Tree at Belmont at Aqueduct.
And that 7th race, of course, the featured Gio Ponte today at Belmont at Aqueduct on the inner turf course at 1 mile. John comes up with the 6, Palm Tree, the 6, Palm Tree. Frankie Dettori aboard the 6 in the 7th race at Aqueduct. Now, as I told you before, Jerry Jakowicz, of course, not with us today, but it's Jerry J's Power Pages for all of Belmont at Aqueduct with that pick 6 carryover exceeding $83,000 available at his website. JerryJ'sPowerPage.com. He did not leave me a selection, so I'm going to interpret a selection off of his sheet. And we're going to go to the 2nd race today at Aqueduct. In the 2nd race, his highest rate horse, a star horse on a sheet, and a pop-out key is number 6, Arrabato. Number 6, Arrabato, with Dylan Davis aboard, is a horse that Jerry's... sheet has a lot of notations on. So in the 2nd race at Belmont at Aqueduct, the 6 is the key. The link-ups then will be the next rated horses on his sheet, and they are number 1, Because the Night, number 3, Scotto, and number 5, Athracite. So number 6 over 135. I'm sorry, it's the 5 horse. Athracite's the 5. 6 over 135 and reverse. The 6 is the play in the 2nd race at Belmont at Aqueduct. Again, an $83,000 carryover there. And John, can't wait to open up Keeneland tomorrow, huh, buddy?
Looking forward to it. Great cards all weekend at Keeneland. The weather's going to be good, so it'll be fast and firm over there. And not only good size fields, but good quality horses.
And we have a carryover in the pick 6 leftover from Sunday at Santa Anita when it resumes tomorrow, also at $83,000. So it's going to be a fun weekend playing the races and watching all of these Breeders' Cup winning year-in races and see who's going to win those races, and then we get ready to start putting together the Breeders' Cup fields, that's for sure. All right, John, thanks a lot for joining me today and going over some of these races with us. And since we don't have Jerry Jackowith with us, we have delegated you to close the show, reminding everybody we'll be back tomorrow at the same time on our Friday show at 7 a.m. Pacific time. So in the meantime, there's only one more thing to say. John's going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at kshp.gov.